Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And the Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
This week, Robin asked me if I was going to preach about the birth of Christ from Proverbs. I think he said that with his tongue in his cheek. I looked, but I couldn't find anything about the birth of Christ in Proverbs, so I thought I'd go ahead and do it from Luke this morning. Imagine your son, if you had one, at the age of 30, decided to quit work and just travel around the countryside, preaching and teaching and living off the generosity of others. As a parent, you'd be thinking, where did I go wrong? We're living in a time right now where actually grown children, are living longer with their parents for a time. A few years ago, one of the members of the church in where I was previously served had an adult son who came to live with her. He had been involved in drugs and alcohol and lost his job, and his wife left him, and so he came to live with his mom. And his mom was only making minimum wage, working at our daycare. And so for a couple of months after he moved back in, I mean, she just had this little efficiency apartment, he was sitting around all day playing video games. And so she finally got a little frustrated because she couldn't really afford to support him and her. She barely was making it on her own. And so she came to the elders of the church and asked if we would go talk to him. And so I wasn't one of the elders, but an elder and myself went and spoke to him. And it seemed like he was listening, but it still took him a while before he finally realized that he was going to have to go out and find work. And eventually he did. He got a job, he lost it, and then somebody took pity on him and hired him, and he did eventually get a job. You know, some children can bring a lot of grief to their parents. Children who make poor choices, who get caught up in the wrong crowd, can really cause a lot of heartache for their parents. When you consider for a moment the life of Jesus, for 29 years or so, he was probably the model son. But when his ministry began, life changed drastically for him and for his family. When Jesus' ministry began, he stopped supporting himself financially and became dependent on the generosity of God through others. So in other words, he decided to become a minister. And of course, the more he taught, the more resistance he encountered, because he taught the truth. And the ruling class, which included many Pharisees and Sadducees, they were somewhat concerned about the truth, but more concerned about money and power and control. And Jesus, as you know, as many of you know, became very popular with the lower class because he challenged authority and he befriended sinners and he went around healing people, even on the Sabbath, which really angered the rulers. And for that reason also, the religious rulers became envious of him and felt threatened by him. And he didn't follow their rules and often exposed their hypocrisy. So they were always trying to look for a way to discredit him. And in fact, they accused him of being possessed by a demon at one point. They tried to arrest him, at least on one occasion that we know. And they tried to stone him to death, at least on one occasion that we know. Now you think about, just for a moment, think about the impact that would have had on his family. Crowds of people following him, listening to teaching that was quite different from what they were used to. A man who permitted women to minister to his needs, some of whom did not have very good reputations in the community, but yet he never married. A man who challenged the authorities on numerous occasions. Can you imagine the gossip that went on and how that affected his family? Family honor was a big deal in those days because it could have an economic impact on the family. You could be ostracized. Your family could be ostracized from the community if you were not an upstanding citizen in the community. If you recall his own family, probably just to protect themselves, at one point said he was crazy, according to Mark 3:21. They were feeling the pressure. He was a rebel. He created a stir wherever he went. And then to be arrested because he was leading people to believe that he was God, telling the truth. And not only that he was a God, but that he was a king. I mean, can you imagine how that would have affected his family? Can you not see Mary at times on her knees praying that her son would just come back and go back into the shop and build tables and chairs like he used to? Why does he have to challenge authority? He's going to get us in trouble. You know, why can't he just be like my other sons? It was because he wasn't like her other sons. How many mothers would not suffer emotionally from a son who created these kinds of problems? You know, mothers suffer when their adult sons or daughters make a mess of their lives. And fathers do too. But I think that mothers, I don't know, they feel the burden a little heavier. We know, however, that Mary wasn't completely in the dark about Jesus, her son. Remember in Luke 1:26, God sent his angel, as Chris just read for us, his angel Gabriel to Mary. Here's what Gabriel said: "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary, you know, her reaction, she was greatly troubled by this angel, and who wouldn't be, who came to her and said those words to her primarily because, you know, she came from a poor family. In her song in verse 48 of Luke 1, she says, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Humble meaning poor and lowly. So she's rather confused that an angel would be coming to her of all people, who in her view and society's view had very little to offer and was of very small importance in that community. And she then is told in verse 30 that she has found favor with God, which means God has chosen her. He's chosen to show favor to her. Not that there was something special about her above all the other young women, young virgins in that area, but what made her special was that God's decision was to show her favor. Gabriel then revealed what the favor was. Mary will conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. And this son will be great and will be called the Son of God. And he'll be given the throne of his father David, and his reign will never end. Do you think that when Mary saw her son dying on the cross, that she was pretty confused about the words of Gabriel spoke. But he spoke to her 30 years earlier about his reign never ending. When you stop to consider the life that Jesus lived and the problems it would have created for her and the rest of her family, Mary that is, you wonder how much of a favor she thought that was to her. If someone would have asked her as she watched her son being beaten, flogged, and nailed to a cross by the authorities in public, "Mary, would you do this all over again?" I wonder what her answer would have been at that moment. Mary was informed by Gabriel that her son would also be God's son. And of course, Mary knew that her pregnancy was from God. It was a miraculous conception. And when Mary was pregnant, if you know the story, and I'm sure you probably do, she visited Elizabeth in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 43. And Elizabeth said to her, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Another hint to Mary of who Jesus would become. Elizabeth referred to Mary's child as her Lord. You know, that was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And when the shepherds came to visit the infant Jesus in Luke 2, they revealed what the angels had told them in the field about the birth of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And Mary's reaction to that news in Luke 2:19 was to treasure this information and to ponder it in her heart. And a week later, when Jesus was 8 days old, they took him to the temple to be consecrated. All firstborn male children had to be consecrated to the Lord according to the law. And so they went because they wanted to obey the law. And there was a man there by the name of Simeon who had been told that he would see the Christ before he died. And it says in Luke 2:27 that he came into the temple in the Spirit and he took Jesus into his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Mary and Joseph heard that. And verse 33 reveals their reaction. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Kim and I marveled one time about what was said about our little daughter, Molly. She was first born. We took her to church for the first time. And an elder's wife came over and she was looking at our baby daughter, Molly, and saying how cute she was. And, you know, of course, we were beaming, you know, with pride. Of course she's cute, you know. Well, look what she had to work with. And but then she said, "You know the old saying, you know, that cute babies turn out to be not so good looking adults." And Kim and I had never heard that saying before. And we marveled that someone would say that to us. So Mary wasn't totally in the dark about her son Jesus, but her responses give you the impression that she and Joseph didn't really fully grasp the magnitude of this whole thing. And really, how could they? Mary's response, though, to the news of becoming the mother of the Son of God is worthy of deep admiration. Luke 1, verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" Mary said, "I'm a servant. So whatever you want to do to me, or whatever is going to happen to me, let it happen." That's such a beautiful attitude of submission. Whatever your plan is, Lord, whatever you want to do with me or to me, do it. I'm a servant. Mary didn't try to talk the angel out of it. I mean, like, if you recall, like Moses did, you know, at the burning bush where he was trying to talk the Lord out of making him the one to bring the people out of Egypt. She didn't try to do that. Every single one of us can take a lesson from a young, probably teenage girl. Whatever your plan is, Lord, whatever you need to do with my life, do it, because I'm a servant. You know, the first 30 years of Jesus' life, Mary was, I'm sure, a proud mama. But because Jesus was that model son. At the age of 12, after they found him in the temple, it indicates in Luke 2, 51 and 52 that Jesus was submissive to them, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What mother and father wouldn't be proud of a son like that? In the last 3 years, however, it's probably a little more difficult. A lot of suffering, tears, prayers, confusion, anger, grieving, and humiliation. In the last week, Mary was probably an emotional wreck. Do you think that when she said to the angel, "Let it be done to me according to your word," she ever imagined having to watch her child be publicly executed? And because of her willingness to submit to God's will and endure such emotional pain, the world has a Savior. And as God's Word speaks to us through the pages of the Bible, our attitude, your attitude, my attitude and commitment ought to be as Mary's was. Lord, I'm a servant. Let it be done to me according to your will. You know, someday you're going to stand before Jesus, as am I, and you're going to speak to Jesus, and Jesus is going to speak to you. And so you'll hear his voice, and you'll see his face, and you may touch him, and he may touch you. What do you think when you have a chance to be there in his presence? What do you think you'll say to him? My favorite actor of all time was Jimmy Stewart. He starred in my favorite movie of all time, It's a Wonderful Life, which this time of the year plays quite often. One of the last movies of Jimmy Stewart's career was made back in 1980. And it was a Christmas movie, just like It's a Wonderful Life was. It's a Christmas movie titled Mr. Kruger's Christmas. And in this scene that we're going to see in just a second, he prays. But he, as he prays, he envisions himself encountering Jesus. And what he says to Jesus, I think, is very touching. Let's go ahead and show that.
Custodian over at the Beck Apartments, but you know that, don't you? You know that. I guess nobody here can see me or hear me except you. You. I didn't bring a gift. I guess that's not important. Thank you for everything you've done for me. As long as I can remember, you've been right by my side. I'll never forget when you walked with me right in those first few hours after I lost Martha. I've always been able to count on you when I felt dark inside, and when you were right there, right every time. Right there. Even when I didn't feel good about myself, I knew that you cared for me enough, and that made me feel better. Like the time I got mad with Mabel Huntington because she broke her pipes on purpose, just so she could have somebody to see while I came up and fixed them for her. Boy, I hollered at her, I hollered real loud. But then I got to thinking. You loved Mabel just as much as you loved me, and I should treat her the way you'd want me to. I believe I talked to you about that at the time. I started visiting her, and we became friends. I saw her almost every day until the day she died. I love you. You're my closest, my finest friend, and that means that I can hold my head high wherever I go. Thank you.
What do you say to Jesus when you pray? Do you say like Mary, whatever, Lord? Whatever. Do you have the courage and humility of that teenage girl? Because God has chosen you to be His son or daughter. He's chosen to do something special through you. To minister to the world through you. To bless the world through you. To show Jesus to the world through you. Will you say, do to me whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm a servant. That's the next step challenge today on the communication card that you have, that I hope you have. Accept the whatever challenge. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, you're a servant. And if that seems too challenging, then take one of the other two steps. Memorize Mary's words in Luke 1:38. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Or read all of Mary's words in her song, Luke 1:46 through 55. He calls you this morning to invite you to invite Him. He calls you to invite Him into your life so He can bless you and so He can bless others through you. So my question to you today, do you have the courage and the humility of Mary to say yes? Yes, Lord. Do to me whatever you want to do because I'm a servant. If you do, then let us know today. Let us know as we sing the song, come to the front, let us know. Just let someone know. And we'd be happy to help you follow through with that and allow Jesus to be in your life. So we offer that invitation to you right now as Robin leads us in this song. Let's stand.